very much, Natalie. And let's already start. Welcome, everybody. Good morning, good everyone. Good evening, everyone. It's morning from my side of the world. So welcome to 18th of August call. And I'm happy to see so many people joining us. And also welcome Nadira from ISO Palestine for the first time to our call. So welcome, Nadira. Great to see you. Staff, please, can we do the roll call?
Thank you, Sirenush. This is Natalie. This call is being recorded, and I'll do the roll call. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Apollo Monthly Call on the 20th of August 2015. On the call today, we have Aris Ignatiou, Sirenush Vardanyan, Ariel Michel, Maureen Hilliard, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Holly Raich, Toshio Tashibana, Satish Babu, Ellen Strickland, Fouad Bajwa, Cheryl Langdon O, Ginella Aspink, Nadira Alaraj, and Ji Yun Choi. We received apologies from Dr. Zuhadi Hassan, Yanis Lee, Kitamura Yasuchi, Yana Gaustian, Pavan Budwani, and Hong Su. And from staff, we have Sylvia Vivanco, Kelvin Wong, and myself, Matthew Peregrin. I'd like you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes, and also to please speak slowly and clearly as this call is currently being interpreted. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Sirenush.
Thank you, Natalie. Thank you very much. And without further ado, I would like to give the floor to Olivier and thank him once again for joining our call, give the floor to him to provide our last update on the statements, proposals which are currently in the process. Olivier, over to you.
Thank you very much, Sirenush. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. Can you all hear me well?
Yes.
Well enough.
Oh, fantastic. Sometimes it's faint, so that's why I do ask before I start launching into this flurry of public comments that we currently have. So, on your agenda, you'll note the list of various public comments with the links to each one of them. One that has just closed and passed and been voted on and actually been adopted by the ALAC is the draft report on the review of the generic name supporting organization. As you know, all supporting organizations and advisory committees and ICANN have to go through a process of review every number of years. Usually it's about 3 years, but sometimes a bit more. And the GNSO, the Generic Name Supporting Organization, is one of the first component parts of ICANN that gets its review underway. And so they immediately started with an issues report and have started their whole process with having a feedback request, if you want, so for people to be able to comment on what the different issues are as reported by a consultancy. Anyway, that was adopted with 11 votes in favor. If you're interested in seeing what we wrote and what the report is about, please click on the link provided. And next, we have a number of statements that are currently being drafted. These are the really important ones, since this is the time now to comment on. The first one is the next generation GTLD, so that's generic top-level domain registration directory services to replace the WHOIS, the WHOIS system. It's a preliminary issue report that has been drafted, and the ALAC is currently drafting a statement on it. It's an important process. As you know, WHOIS is a system where you can have a directory of the actual domain name registrants. It's a system that was implemented a very long time ago, and that is effectively a one-size-fits-all. You either put your real name in there, or you go through some kind of privacy or proxy service and have that proxy service details. So when people check who owns that domain name, they get the details of the proxy service. The third alternative is the one which is illegal, or which should not be allowed, or is not allowed by ICANN, which is to register it over to some assumed a name that is not yours and an address that is unreachable, which is not correct, and that's where you have a Whois record that doesn't work. But the problem that one has is if you are a civil society or freedom of speech advocate or are involved in politics, or are indeed for various other reasons, if you are a minor, let's say, then you do have this problem of giving your full details out. So an expert working group was put together to think of a completely different system with various levels of access. There were one level of access for law enforcement, one level of access for general users, et cetera, et cetera. And they worked for quite some time, actually, and we did have a few people from at large in this report. They did work for quite some time on a replacement, and they came up with something. Now an issues report has been drafted based on this, and that's the first step to taking this through a full generic name-supporting organization policy development process, ultimately emerging, who knows, a few years from now. I'm thinking years, yeah, a few years from now, in a replacement for Whois. Anyway, that's a long process, but we're at the beginning of it, and it's important that you get your input into this at the beginning, because if you come after 2 years and say, I don't agree with that, you will probably be told to go away, and in rather less nice terms than being told to go away. Next one is the initial report on data and metrics for policy making. Actually, it's someone from the region, Maureen Hilliard, who is holding the pen on this. And the whole idea is to try and find out how if there is some kind of a mechanism to initiate, track, and analyze policy violations. And so it's all based around the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group that identified this issue quite some time ago as well, back in 2010 or so. And so right now there is some work for the GNSO Council to try and find out if when they come up with a policy, how well it's actually followed, how it's adhered to, and there is no metrics for any of this. So they're designing metrics for it. At the moment there's no first – oh, no, there is a first draft, actually. Sorry. It's down in the comments section. I invite you to read it. It's quite long. It's in two parts, and several people have already made some comments on this. But the public, the commenting period is still open, so please read through it and comment on it whilst we have time for it. Third is the initial, the IANA stewardship transition proposal. If you haven't heard what the IANA stewardship is by now, you must have been living in a cave. But who knows? There are some people who live in caves, and I'm sure they have a wonderful life and don't have much Internet access. If you have indeed been holidaying, I'm just kidding here, but if you've actually been on holiday or taking a break, then the IANA stewardship is about the U.S. government rescinding their current position as steward of the three vital functions of the Internet, the coordination of names, the coordination of protocols, and the coordination of numbers. Now, you must have heard some public comment periods based on the names part of the discussion of the report. Now the IANA coordination group, this worldwide group, has put the three inputs from the names, the protocols, and the IP address community together, and it has published this. This is really, when you look at it, what's going to be sent to the U.S. government. That's the report that will be sent to the U.S. government. There will be a small part added probably from the accountability process that the Cross-Committee Working Group on Accountability, which is currently meeting, still working hard on this. But essentially what you have on the table, what's there, is what's going to be sent to the U.S. government with some minor changes. And this is where you can make those minor changes. That's the commenting that they're asking about now. Is this all working together? We've identified a couple of points in the report that might need attention. They are listed at the moment on the wiki. One of them was to do with the intellectual property registration issues of the domain name IANA.org and any trademarks that are associated with IANA. this appears to, since the public comment started, this appears to now have been somehow resolved with the ICANN board agreeing for this IANA.org domain name and any other trademarks to be transferred to either the IETF Trust, the Internet Engineering Task Force Trust, under specific conditions, or to some kind of a body or a trust or something that can take care of these things in a sort of more neutral body rather than ICANN being seen by some other organizations and not being neutral enough. So that's one thing that's out of the way. The other one is a comment from Tijani Benjema. I'm not going to go through it. I realize time is of the essence. So you can read through this, and you can also identify any other issues that you wish to identify on this. Next one is the at-large proposed ICANN bylaws amendments from the GNSO policy and implementation working group. Alan Greenberg is in charge of this. So there was a big discussion about GNSO policy being designed by the GNSO, passed on by the board. The board agrees with it, and then it's given over to staff, and staff has to implement this. And sometimes you make policy, you know, plans that are not exactly directly implementable. They have to be amended somehow a little bit. Think, for example, of a football that is square. That is a cube instead of being round. You have to round the edges off to make it roll a little bit easier. That's the sort of thing that you have to deal with. Unfortunately, sometimes when you change a cube into a ball, that actually is not a cube anymore, and it's actually a ball, and your policy of making a cube has actually changed now into becoming a ball, and that's very different. Same thing here. Sometimes the implementation part changes the policy significantly, and so the GNSO had a working group that looked at this to try and see where did we draw the line and how consensus policies could be followed up afterwards in the implementation part. Very exciting discussion because it has actually caused a huge number of problems. When the consensus policy was all agreed on, and then we all found out that things were just so different at implementation stage. So important discussion here. Next, the cross-community working group on enhancing ICANN accountability. Very, very important process at the moment. I'm going to skip over this quite quickly because I know that there is a 15-minute section immediately after this section, TCWG accountability second draft report presentation, and I'm sure that Cheryl, Alan, and Leon, and I believe probably Cheryl more so than Alan and Leon, since I don't see the other two online, they will be able to tell you a bit more about this. It's important that we get your input on that, because the ALAC representatives and this cross-community working group have been working very, very hard indeed. We do have a large number of points to address. On this second draft report, it's not the first one. So this is a process where the inputs and the comments make a big difference. But we're now at a critical stage for this. So please have a look at this if you're interested in ICANN accountability. That is the report you need to read. Three things to just mention briefly. One is the proposal for the Armenian script root zone label generation rules. That's marked as being stalled. Actually, it isn't stalled. Following a discussion with Narine, which I believe took place a couple of days ago, she has put down a number of points on the on this statement. So this is the proposal for Armenian script root zone label generation rules. Important for AP Rallo, since Armenia is part of AP Rallo, so you'll be interested to read the two remarks that she is making on the proposal. And please comment on this as soon as possible, because time is also ticking on this one, and the comment closing date is the 31st of August. So I believe that we have to close the actual at-large comments before this so as to be able to have a vote on it. So it's not a long statement, it's just a few lines. Please read through it. Take your 5 minutes of time a coffee. Yeah, it's still morning in Armenia. Drink a coffee after this and read this. Drink some wonderful Armenian coffee. Or you can, of course, drink some cognac if you wish to. That's a different thing that you might wish to decide on. And finally, there are two more statements that are currently decided as not needing any statement from the ALAC. So two public comment requests. One is about the Rude Zone key, what is it, the KS, keep on losing it, key signing key. It's all about the route and DNSSEC, security of the DNS, and it uses these encryption keys. There is a slight, there are a few changes to make in there. Our SSAC liaison, Julie Hammer, has told us that the whole thing looks all fine and we don't need to comment on. I've also read it. A couple of other people have read it. It looks great. So no comment on this. And finally, the removal of searchable Whois service from Dutch Sharp service registry agreement. Sharp is a trademark. This is a brand, top-level domain. They want to take the Whois service that I mentioned earlier out of this. I don't think it has any impact on end users. At the end of the day, what Sharp does in its own house, in its own business, is their own business. And you can bet that the majority, if not all, of the Dutch Sharp domains will be registered to none other than Sharp. So that's all. And if you have any questions, you may, of course, ask them now or by email later on if you wish to. And thanks for the time.
Thank you, Olivier. Thank you very much for this detailed update. Just one comment related to the proposal of Armenian script through zone label generation. I just received information from Alan how the statement should go and forwarded this to ISOC Armenia people as they are involved in .hi, the Armenian IDN, and asked them to comment and provide their input as and I know Holly has her hand raised. Holly, the floor is yours.
It was just way back in the very first item on the registration data. Just to say what is on the policy doesn't show that Carlton has drafted a statement. I'm pretty comfortable with it with a couple of minor changes, so I don't know what's happened to that, but if we could chase that down. Essentially, what we're saying is, look, what's been put out for comment is fine, but Olivier is quite right. It is just the first step in what's going to be a really, really long process to actually implement the EWG. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Holly. Any other questions related to those updates? Because I don't see any hand raised. Just a quick note for staff. Can you please provide the links to each statement in the agenda for people to come back, and if there is a need for them to comment, they can click from the agenda. We'd be very thankful for that. Thanks again. As we had a note from Ali Al-Meshal that he needs to leave in 30 minutes, I just would like to switch the agenda items 3 and 4 and provide the floor to Ali now. As you may know, that we hold a webinar in at large, in general, for new ALSs to welcome them, and Ali and myself were there, and I would like to give the floor to Ali to update on that call. Ali, please.
Thanks, Alastair Anush. This is Ali Al-Mishal for the record. Do you hear me clear?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay,
great.
Yeah. Last week on the 12th of August, we have a webinar for the new ALSs who have joined the at-large for the last 6 months. And it was a very fruitful and informative, to be honest, and a webinar. We were having three new ALSs from AFRALO, one from URALO, and two from LACRALO. And ABRALO were having four new ALSs. The webinar started by the chair of ALAC, Alan Greenberg, and he gave a very informative, top-level information about how ALAC and how I can, on how to direct the ALSs to get engaged. And for those people who did not attend that conference, I'm just giving that a brief, or that webinar. And he explains what is going on with the at-large and ALAK in a very high level and the direction. There was a very much informative as well presentations done by the different ALSs from the different regions about their structure, about what they are doing, how they are planning to get involved, and what is their activity. From the AP Rallo side, we are having four new ALSs, which is one from ISAC Delhi, ISAC Palestine, and ISAC Saddam, and ISAC Korea. And they were supposed to give each a 5-minute presentation about their ISAC and their ALSs. Unfortunately, we couldn't get the Delhi and Palestine. At the last minute, Wasil from Palestine, ISAC joined, but there was no time for him to give any type of a presentation. The other two ALSs have given a presentation about their ISAC activities and what they are doing and how they are trying to get engaged with the ICANN community. At the end, Chair of ALAK have asked all the participants from these ALSs to send a couple of notes to him about why they want to join and what's their interest in joining the ICANN. In a brief, this is all what has been discussed on that hour. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ali. Thank you very much. And the link is posted in the chat page. As I posted, they are useful for even all the ALSs. So please visit the link and read the transcript and hear the records. It's usually very it's very interesting webinar, some kind of introductory. So thanks, Ali, again. And I know that we have a very important agenda item, CCWG accountability, second draft report presentation, and the topic is really very important for the whole internet community. So without further ado, I would like to give the floor to Cheryl to provide the presentation for our community. Cheryl, the floor is yours.
Took me a moment to come off mute. Sorry about that. Now I need to get back into the room. I don't have control of any slides, and I'm unaware if there is a slide set up. Natalie, can you confirm if we've got a set of slides or not?
There's a workspace I can put up again, but nothing more.
Okay, fine. I didn't realise that we wouldn't be using a couple of the slides from the recent webinar, and I would like to draw your attention to the resources, if you don't mind, Natalie, putting the copy to the CCWG workspace, please, with the... In particular, I'd like to draw your attention that as this is the at-large workspace that Natalie's put up, I think out of today's emails, the translations have come out for the accountability draft work, which means the document is in two forms, a long form and a form that has each part in separate sections. And the translations are available now in the 61 languages, which means, of course, we have both Russian and Chinese for our area, as well as Portuguese, obviously not for our area, but the 61 languages plus Portuguese. Without the slides to look at, and I would encourage you off the CCWG workspace, and yes, I am babysitting, as you can hear my new granddaughter Thea in the background helping me. She's nearly 12 weeks old, so I mean there's absolutely no reason why she shouldn't be on an AP Rallo call. That we have a number of powers for the community some of which are in fact tied to the work that the CWG and the transition, the IATA transition requirements are. And the main thing is what we think is we've come up with a model which is somewhat unique. It's not unheard of, but it's also not particularly common for a membership organisation that is a single member model. Now, what we believe, and we do believe, is that with this new single member model, the ICANN-wide community, the ACs, the SOs, and in particular, I think to our interest, those of us in at large, excuse me, I'm just going to clear my throat. Sorry about that. We'll be able to ensure that the community powers are exercised with as much diligence and care and caution as I think most of us would want to do. In other words, this will be particularly hard to gain. It will be particularly hard for one sector of our community or one part of ICANN to gain overt control and too much influence, and that these major powers which have to do with budget veto and board population and removal of members in particular will be something that is never done lightly, and if done, is done with community-wide support. Now, I don't want to take up too much more time without a set of PowerPoint slides to show you, but what I would also like to suggest to you is that we've also come up with a number of what we call stress tests. And what they are scenarios where we believe we've looked at even the most unlikely things, you know, bankruptcy in ICANN, all sorts of things, what those possibilities are and whether or not the new mechanisms that we've come up with improve or maintain the current levels of accountability that we have with existing. And we're satisfied with the 26 stress tests we went to for our first public comment. We've added another half dozen to that list already, four of them directly on request from the NTIA, from a letter from Larry Strickling, and a couple of them from directly from public comments that we got in as a result of the first public comment. We would very much value input from our regional members. That doesn't matter if it's a regional response, at-large structure response, or individual member responses, to be put on that initial space that Natalie had presented to you, the at-large... Sorry, she's having far too good a time here. The at-large working group, ad hoc working group for this, and any comments, questions or feedback, including have we thought of this and do you know about that type things. There is no such thing as a silly question or comment. We would very much appreciate formal or informal input into our processes. With that, Cyrinush, I'm happy to answer any particular questions. Ah, there we go. We've got our visual summary up. I wouldn't want to take you through all 19 pages, but if you move to, I think it's number 6 or 7, I think it is, you should find the single member model that I was describing, and you will certainly find each of the powers. Now, it's a bit further on than that. There are some bylaw changes and some core mission and value changes that are also being proposed in our documentation. This is to ensure that future boards, should indeed they ever go rogue, do not have the ability to change the rules, which would null and void the work that we have done in the community to date. So with that, Cyrinush, I'm happy to take any questions and strongly suggest that if any of the at-large structures want to have a little bit of a Q&A system, we will be soon coming out with our frequently asked questions, our FAQ document. I would encourage at least the at-large structures to promulgate to their members the FAQ document, which will be published very shortly. And, of course, myself and Leon, Alan, Tijani, Sebastian, the rest of the team are always at your beck and call to answer any questions. Back to you.
Thank you.
And
thank you very much, Cheryl.
Thank
you very much for this presentation. And I'm sure that this topic is really very important now, and I it is essential that ALS go through this document and provide their comments. So is there any questions right now which you would like to ask Cheryl? So I don't see Holly, please.
It's not really a question. It's just I would really like to look at the presentation. Is there a link on the ALAC page that goes to this presentation?
I should know. Holly, Cheryl here. I believe there is. If not, Natalie will put it in the chat here today, because I know she got it because she displayed it for me in her usual prompt efficiency. Thanks, Natalie.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly. Thank you, Cheryl and Natalie. Yes, I completely agree with Olivia that this is one thing is absolutely guaranteed, that the work of this working group will affect each and every one of us. So take this seriously. I'm happy it's not in the agenda, and I wanted to talk about this in AOB part, but as we have Gunella with us, yesterday we had a call on new pilot project implemented in at-large. It is a project of captioning pilot project, and it is initiated by Naralo people, and Egiralo and Afralo provided their interest to be a part of this pilot phase, which is for 3 months and will start in October, this November and December. What is this? This is the important point to encourage participation of people with disabilities or those who, for whom English is a non-native language, and for those who have low bandwidth. So these are three criteria which yesterday we discussed, that for whom this might be important, and taking into consideration that Aotearoa has all these three criteria included in the region, we decided to be a part of this pilot phase. And yesterday we also discussed that it would be important to have one of the webinars implemented in partnership with APAC Hub to be captioned. And also I would like to give the floor to Gunella to provide some updates as she provided it prior to Judith, who is from Naralo and leading this project. Gunella, if you have some additions to what I have said, please.
Thanks very much, Sirenush. You have covered it comprehensively. I just wanted to acknowledge Judith Hellestein, who has been the driving force behind this pilot for captioning, and as part of the Accessibility Task Force and the Technology Task Force. So I think the only thing I'd like to add is that there will be a feedback requested of participants in the captioning project. So anyone who attends the webinar is encouraged to respond on what they think about it. And so we can have an evaluation of the pilot, because it's only 3 months, it's quite a short time, and we're hoping that this might be something then that that ICANN can continue and provide on an ongoing basis. Thanks.
Thank you, Gunella. And yes, that was also one of the points why Aotearoa wanted to join, as we all know that the webinars are always recorded, and the captioning will help those who have challenges to join the webinars later to come and read it with even low bandwidth if they have. So I think that there will be no objections from our side, from Meteorolo LS's side, that we are joining to that initiative, and we will be sharing more information about that in the upcoming 2 months, as now it's preparatory stage, and as I said, the project itself will start in October. Any questions of this? Yes, Atish, you are right. We will have Unicode subtitles. I think staff will be working on that. So, and yeah, we're also looking forward for staff support in that, as this is, as they will start working with APAC Hub to see the technical part of it, how they can arrange. As we have some quiz part in our webinar, they are very interactive. So we have to see that everything is ready before starting the captioning. So we will test all those together with staff. Thanks, Sylvia, for noting this. Any questions on that? If no, thank you, Gunella, once again for joining us and providing updates on that. And we really rely on your support on this pilot phase from Meteorolo, and to see how we can support also to move forward with it, to continue this piloting, continue this project after pilot phase. So if there is no questions, I will move forward to agenda item 5, which is very quick. We know that APNIC is holding its retreat in Jakarta on September 6th, and Holly and Maureen were reached by Paul Wilson, who is General Manager for APNIC, to see if there is any ALS from Meteorolo would be able to participate in that retreat, for them also to welcome them, especially as our partners. So is there anyone in this call who is able to be in Jakarta? I think ICE of Japan was mentioned that will be a part of AP retreat in Jakarta by APNIC. Am I right, Toshio? Okay, Yasuichi will be there. That's great. And if possible, Yasuichi, after the retreat, please share with the Meteorolo community what has been discussed during the retreat and what are the important key aspects where our ALSs can become a part of it. We will highly appreciate that. Great, Yasuichi. Thank you. Let's move forward to agenda item 6, I would like to give an update on Armenian IGF. The first national IGF take place in September 7 and 8, and I am happy to share the note that after the Meteorolo Outreach Strategic Plan being approved, and even with less time than it is needed for crop funding, our two crop requests, one crop request for two people has been approved, and we are looking forward for Holly and Ali to be in Yerevan on September 7 and 8. And I'm also happy to share that ISOC Armenia will cover two additional nights for them to stay for another regional event taking place on 9 and 10. Which is TLDCon calling, where all registries, city TLDs will gather here in Yerevan from the region. So I think that Holly's and Ali's presence here will be mutually beneficial, as they are also included as a speakers in our first Armenian IGF. So can't wait seeing them both here in Armenia, and I will provide later the links for as the so streaming, the live streaming will be available, and I hope many of you can also join remotely to that. Any questions on that? No. And the next agenda item is Aguaralo Strategic Plan. Thanks, Sylvia, for posting this, posting the link. I would encourage everyone, all ALSs, to go and read that. This is a living document. We can do some updates later on, but I'm happy to say that our strategic plan was the first one among RALOs to be submitted, and it's already approved. The main items posted there are approved, and there are a lot of outreach and in-reach activities there, so please go and read the strategic plan, and if there is any additions you would like to bring to the floor, please provide their comments to me or to staff, and we will make adjustments to it later on. Maureen, I think there is, that's all for Aguaralo Outreach Strategic Plan. Any questions on that? If no, I think the chat says that Maureen would like to give a brief summary on Win 10. Maureen, please, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Sunil. It's an unexpected pleasure to be able to present this real report on what we've been, what I've been involved in over the last week. Really, I sort of like, and I'm sure a lot of people are actually looking at whether they're going to upgrade to Windows 10. And I'm sure that wherever you, the you know, you are, other people outside of the Pacific and Africa and South America and other places that don't have much access to the internet and fast speed broadband, we are sort of like did upgrade and then found that my 15 gig, which cost me $139 a month, was consumed within a day of downloading the Windows 10 and other applications, which I didn't realize were actually just tuning up my broadband. And so when I like finally realized, and I'm now up to about 40 gigs over my limit, I didn't realize that like about on the sort of 10th of August that I needed to get something done because I couldn't afford what Windows 10 was actually sort of like was actually doing, and it, apparently all these applications are just constantly syncing and updating themselves, and of course just chewing through your broadband. And so anyway, I sent a letter off to my colleague in Australia, Holly Raich, who immediately sent my letter, which I had written to, I wanted her to forward to anyone she knew in Microsoft, immediately sent it off to her network, which reached across Australia. And I've spent the last two nights talking to the escalation leader of Microsoft, and he's a sort of like a senior technician, and what he did was he actually disabled two key tiles, live tiles in Windows 10, which you cannot, in the home version, you cannot automatically disable them. You can disable them for everything else except these two tiles, and they were costing me 2 gigs a day. And that meant that it was costing me $50 a day to have these things updated. So anyway, I got hold the message went out from Holly to all of the colleagues. They sent messages to Microsoft. Sundex, the person I was speaking to the last two nights, said it was the most emails he's ever had in his email box. He called it the Maureen campaign, and he said that in the discussions that we've had over the last couple of nights, he's going to take the message about the need for people in developing countries to have low broadband, affordable no bells and, you know, bells and whistles type of operating system. We don't need, you know, we need to have options. We, you know, we need to be able to choose what we want to actually have to what we need to be able to access and what we can disable. And it just seems ridiculous that, you know, OneDrive and Dropbox were not given any, on the home version, you're not given an opportunity to choose whether you want to use those services or not. They're just by default, they constantly sync. So Microsoft is going to be, he promised that he would escalate concerns from the region into where it would make a difference in Microsoft. So, we'll just watch this space. Thank
Yay.
You.
Maureen?
Hello?
Have we lost Arunosh?
I think so. Doesn't have enough bandwidth.
Yeah, it sounds like we lost Arunosh. Natalie, can you get her back, please? Ali, you want to continue on? I guess it's Q&A. Cheryl here at the moment. It's Q&A for Maureen. Maureen, you manage it, darling, until she comes back.
Are there any questions?
Yeah.
I noticed that some people have actually had upgraded to Win 10, and of course it doesn't. If you're in an area, I mean, I actually have asked for the ability to disable those two features when I'm in Rarotonga. But when I go to New Zealand, I may want to actually update what I've got in OneDrive, and I can do that when I'm overseas and in an environment that enables me to do that with little impact on cost. And so they've actually done that for me. I've got a very customised Windows 10 version of my own. But these are the sorts of options, and as Cheryl said, we need to be able to choose the option of not being made, and not these things being made as a default. And I did mention that Microsoft is obviously developing these products for an environment that expects that everyone's got unlimited access. Well, it doesn't happen for us, unfortunately. Do we have some news back again?
Yes, we do.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
you can.
Oh, great. Yes, I'm back. Sorry for some technical problems with this is the line to Armenia, so we are too far. So thanks, Maureen, for sharing this really interesting story, and thanks for all others to commenting and providing their input. Any questions from participants to any of the items discussed, or anything else you would like to add to what has been said? Holly, please.
Yeah, just a thought, Maureen. I'm sure that the Cook Islands isn't the only place where there's a problem. While I don't want to actually favour Microsoft, there must be a lot of people who would have the same problem. I'm just wondering, and Sirnush, it's a question. It's a question for ICANN, if they are now actually changing Windows 10 or at least adding to the functionality to allow people to choose, is it something that more generally ICANN, ISOC or other people might want to know about? And could we facilitate that? Because I'm sure a lot of people, Sirnush included, have got bandwidth problems. Thanks.
Thanks, Holly. Good. And probably we may raise this issue with ICANN during one of those meetings, or maybe in Dublin. We can raise this and to see how ICANN is involved here and what can be done on that aspect. Thanks. I see no hands. Okay, I see hands. Maureen, please.
Thank you very much, Maureen, for the record. Just to sort of like say that it's very, you know, I know that it is very much in the minds of people in internet society. And I mean, I know colleagues with yours, you know, within your network across Australia, and similarly, messages have gone out to the Pikaisok community. But I think again, it's sort of like if you know, on the chapter list, if those sorts of, you know, we can certainly disseminate information through those email lists of the Internet Society, because they exist. And again, as you say, we can raise it as a broader issue on, you know, when we have our meetings in Dublin, perhaps. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, noted. Okay, there is no any additions and no questions. I just would like to thank once again for joining this call, and really lovely to see many ALSs joining. And I hope that you will follow up also with the links from the agenda, and I will be sending also the updates as usual to our mailing list for all those who had no chance to participate today, but can later read the transcripts and records and use the links provided. Thank you very much, and the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you, Sir Anush. Bye now.
Bye.